and I'll share with you what he tells me to. But this is why we do what we do here on when we're teaching. First three verses, Hebrews 12 in the Passion Translation. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressure. So the purpose of us talking about God's family values is so we won't cave in under life's pressures. We won't be worn down by life's pressures. We need to know who we are, and we need to know what we have. It's just that simple. Because that's what gets you through, knowing who you are. I remember I was probably in third grade at a school, and there was a person at the school that didn't like me, and it was a paraprofessional. She didn't like me because her son wouldn't leave me alone, and he paid for it. So she didn't like me. And my next door neighbor, Michael, he's been in heaven since he was about 33, probably even younger than that. But one of his relatives had died, and he was crying, and I was sitting with him. And it was raining outside, and the rule was when you finish your lunch, you go to the auditorium. I had finished lunch, but I was sitting there trying to console Michael because he was just crying. And the lady came. I remember her name, but I'm not going to say her name, even though she's probably in heaven also. But she said, "Carr, go into the auditorium." And I said, "If you don't mind, his grandmother died, and he's upset, so I'm just sitting with him, if that's okay." She said, "Okay, that's fine." And we get up and we go into the auditorium. Next thing I know, she's come walking up to me with the principal. "This is the young man. This is the guy I was telling you about. He was very disrespectful and he cursed at me." Next thing I knew, I saw all these different colors and things because he slapped me, because it wasn't illegal to do so during the olden days. And I remember screaming at the top of my lungs in the principal's face, pointing at him, "Nobody hits the son of Ruby Carr and gets away with it. Nobody." And he looked at me and took a couple of steps back. And they took me to the office, and when Mommy came up there, he found out what I was talking about. I didn't tell you that just to tell you a funny story. I knew who I was. As a child, I knew who I was. I knew who I belonged to, and I knew what they promised to do. All I had to do is turn it over to her. I didn't have to try and do it myself. Mommy said, here's the rule. You learn, I protect. I'm like, works for me. So I got into sixth or seventh grade, and I didn't want mommy protecting me. I wanted to do it myself. But therein lies the problem for us also as believers. We get to the place where, yes, we are supposed to know who we are. Yes, we are supposed to speak to circumstances, but we do so in the name of Jesus. Not because we just think, well, let me just say this, or let me just say that. No. We find out, okay, Father, what do you want me to say in this situation? How do you want me to handle this? And we have the authority in the name of Jesus, and we have that authority because he loves us. That's the only reason why we have that authority. See, it means something to belong to a family. And every family has something that sets it apart from another family. And it's called family values. And the family unit is not just blood relatives. As I've already shared, you can be married into a family. You can be adopted into a family. You can be absorbed into a family. That means you just, all your life, you just hang out with them and they just see you as a family member. How many of you have aunts and uncles that aren't really blood relatives, but they're so close you say, this is my aunt? Yeah. She was absorbed. He was absorbed. And if you look at Luke 6:44, because it says something that's important. Every scripture says something that's important. But in an Amplified Classic, Luke 6:44 says, for each tree is known and identified by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor a cluster of grapes picked from a bramble bush. You can say every family is known and identified by its own values. They know who you are. They know what you stand for. We're in the family of God. We're in that portion that's called Redeeming Love Christian Center. We need to know what's associated with that. And I can tell you, if you are associated with Redeeming Love Christian Center, whether you're a member, whether you just hang out with us, whether you support us financially, then when you hear Redeeming Love Christian Center and they see you, they're thinking the love of God is evident. You've been taught the word. The Spirit of God is directing your life, and the power of God is manifested. Why? Because you said you were a part of Redeeming Love Christian Center, and that's what they're all about. That's, and there's power in that. Because that means if our paths cross, I'm going to hear some rich word. If our paths cross, I'm going to leave feeling somebody loves me. If no one loved me, this person that I met from Redeeming Love Christian Center loves me. And the power of God was manifested in them because they loved me. They spoke words of life to me. They laid hands on me. They got in agreement with me. All because I had an encounter with the family of Redeeming Love Christian Center. Well, people should feel that way about having an encounter with anyone that's in God's family. People should feel that way when they have an encounter with the church. Amen. I very rarely, almost never give you my opinion. But it's one time God said, give it. I'm going to give it. That new bill that everybody's praying for, H.R. 15, or the Equality Act, if the church loved the way we were supposed to love, that bill never even comes up. Because we're loving the folks that have gotten it wrong. Just like someone loved us when we got it wrong. And I could even say, while we're getting it wrong, or until we get it right, someone loved us. So what happens is, remember Jesus said, the only way people will know you are my disciples is by doing what? Loving one another. So you have lawmakers that will look at the church unit as a whole. They don't say, well, this group over here, they know how to love. And I say, the church doesn't know what it believes. Because some say this, some say this, some do that, some do that, some do that, some do. And so they're not taking us seriously. There are more Christians than there are any other groups. So why are these things passing? Christians get upset when they get passed, but what are we doing about it? Are we loving the people? Even the ones that presented the bill, that passed the bill, that support the bill, that support anything that you don't, are we loving them? Or are we judging them? Since we are the church, we're in the family of God and we operate according to God's family values. We operate according to our model, Jesus the Christ. The Bible tells us, while we were yet sinners, love died for us. While we were yet sinners, not when we got it all together. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me tell you that's something that love does. I'll find the scripture. Love covers. Is that in Galatians? No. But I do want Galatians. And you can find the other one for me, so I don't have to scroll through my notes. But in Galatians 5:6, in the Amplified Bible, it says, for if we are in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So if you are not loving, if we are not loving, we are not operating in faith. It's not that we don't have faith. We're not operating in it because it says faith is activated through love. So if I don't have love, there's no activation. Faith is energized and expressed and working through love. No love. It won't be energized. There's no expression. There's no work being done. Because all of this takes place through love. Love has that power. Did you get it for me, Annie? Okay, just give me a moment. Go with me, please, to 1 Peter 4. I have it. Thank you. Amplified Bible. Let's start in verse 8. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Now, think about the power that needs to be present to cover a multitude of sins. Think about the power. Can you guys give me one of the tablecloths? No, never mind. I use my jacket. Love covers. So you don't see it anymore. But love doesn't cover like this. I was thinking about this during praise and worship when we were singing about love. Yes, this is covered, but you know it's there. That's not the way love covers. This is how love covers. Vincent, could you come here for a moment? I want you folks to see that. This is how love covers. Just grab that in for me. And we'll walk towards you. Keep going. Good. Love covers. You don't even see it anymore. It's like it was never there. What happened? Love covers. It's not hidden because I can still walk through. Love's got it covered so that it doesn't even affect me anymore. And it doesn't affect anybody because the power of love acted as if it does not exist. That's the type of love we're supposed to have. That's the type. Now look, the way they act, they're just unlovable. You don't love them. Because if you loved them, you wouldn't even see what they're doing that's wrong. You wouldn't even see it. This doesn't mean sin is coming back. Thank you. Well, they said if it did, you'd forgive them. We'll center it after service. Love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. The scripture doesn't say it, but just to connect it, I say, so because of that, verse 9, practice hospitality to one another, those of the household of faith. Be hospitable. Listen to this next part. Be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guests, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come your way who are of Christ's body. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, graciously, without complaining, but as representing him. Jesus doesn't say, when he took your stripes, why do I have to take? Ah, there's another one that's coming. Why can't someone else take these stripes? No, he does it without complaining. He doesn't say, I've already been whipped for this and you're doing it again? How many times do I have to take this? He doesn't say that. He does it without complaining, but as representing the Father. Now, again, going back to verse 8, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another because love covers. Multitude means a great number or a great many. And as I showed you, cover means to make it invisible. It's like it's not even there. And that takes power. Takes power. It's like you watch the sci-fi movies, it's like having a cloaking device, you know, where you don't even see it. Now look what Jesus did. I think I have time for this. Colossians 2. When we talk about the power of love, when Jesus went into hell, verse 14 of Colossians 2, the Passion Translation, says he canceled out every legal violation we had in our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our staining soul, stay staining soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. And let me give you kind of like a definition of that based on the original Aramaic. The word erase explicitly holds the concept of removal of stains. So that means the nature of Adam has been erased. It's been erased. And the nature of Christ has been embedded into us. So the nature of Adam was erased and replaced with the nature of Christ. It takes power. Listen to this. We are totally set free from every trace of sin by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every trace of sin, there's CSI couldn't find any sin. Right? Totally set free from every trace of sin by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, which he allowed to be shed because God so loved the world. Also, when it says everything we once were in Adam, it's referring to all that was within us. It was referring to the core of our past life, the core of who we are, who we were before Christ. All of that, its memories, its failures, its disobedience. And then I read something, and I said, like Pastor Clinton, I said, my God, listen to this. A new DNA has been embedded now within us. A new DNA.
Yes, sir.
Through the cross and resurrection life of Christ. Folks, this was done because God so loved us. The power to change us was made manifest because God so loved the world. God so loved, oh, I got to tell you, I got to do verse 15. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon. Think about that. We say, oh, the devil is putting, how can he put on you something he does not have? If every weapon was stripped away from him, what's he using? I'll tell you what he's using. He's lying to you. He's saying, there's sickness. You're like, nah, 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 you don't have it anymore. And even if you did, because Christ loved me, he gave me the same power he has over you. Because he said he gave me power over all of your power. He made a public spectacle of all the powers and principality of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his prisoners. You are not a prisoner to sin. You are not a prisoner to sickness. Let me get back on. You are not. You are not. You are not. You are not. Sin and sickness are prisoners to the family of God. Even if you don't understand it, it is still so. Now, when you research this in the Aramaic, glory to God. Listen to this. Between the crucifixion and the resurrection, that was how many times? Read answer. 1, 2, 3 days. Right? Right? Between that time, while in the spirit realm, Jesus destroyed death. He destroyed the powers of darkness and every work of the enemy through the blood of the cross. All the enemy's weapons have been stripped away from him. And now the church has authority in Christ to enforce this triumph over the dethroned rulers of darkness. The church has the power. The church has the power.
Yes, and I'm the church.
The church has the power to enforce the triumph gained when Jesus spent 3 days in hell. And love, I gotta stop here. Love is the only way we can validate who we are. It's the only way. That's why Jesus said, let me give you a new command. Love one another. But before you think it's hard for me to do, he said, in the same way I love you, you love one another. Which means he must have given us the ability to love like he does. And he loves like God does. So we have the ability to love like God does. The same way. This is how everyone will recognize you have my values. This is how everyone will recognize you are my church. This is how everyone will recognize you are my disciples. When they see, when they see the love you have one for another. Hallelujah. Folks, whether you like it or not, we be the church. God's family. And his family values should ooze out of us and onto anything that's around us. How do I know that? I'm going to read the scripture and then I'm going to quit. Ephesians. I have a special translation. Ephesians 3, verse 14, Johnson paraphrase. Said, because I don't want you to become discouraged, I offer this prayer to the Father who has given his name to the whole family of God, both in heaven and on earth. May he give you an infusion of strength in the depth of your being by the Spirit. I pray that your trust will enable Christ to settle down in you so that you may be grounded in love. Grounded in love. I hope that you will be able to grasp with all God persons the multidimensional love of God. Listen to this. A love broad enough to include everybody. Long enough to reach the ends of the earth. Deep enough to unify our fragmentation. and high enough to reach the very heart of God. Actually, I want you to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowing. Experiencing love like this, may you be overwhelmed with the awareness of the presence of God. I don't care what comes, how it comes, the presence of God will always overwhelm you. That's why all of a sudden you're unaware of these afflictions. And you understand how great his affection is for you because he loves you so. And that love has power. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. We give you alone the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this day, this morning. We know this is the day that you've made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it. But thank you for the word you gave us this morning. Thank you for giving the Holy Ghost to unveil the word that we heard, to give us revelation to what we heard this morning so that we can act on it. Just hearing it is not enough. We need to be doers of the word that we've heard. And we thank you, Lord, for the fruit that's going to come as a result of the word that we heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Real quick, is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can't have his power if you don't have him. It's just that simple. Can't have it. Getting it is very easy. God makes it very easy. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'd be saved. So if you're here and you, well, why don't we both say it because I don't know who's out there. So why don't everyone just repeat this? Father God, I believe that you are God. I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you spent 3 days in hell in my place. And I believe that on that third day, God raised you from the dead. And you're seated at his right hand. And you're coming again soon. So I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart, into my life. Turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, if you made that confession, folks, you're born again. You now possess Jesus Christ living inside you. And all we want you to do is contact us. We have the information on the screen. And we're going to send you some free information about who you've become in Christ, just to help get you started on the right foot. And as always, if you have any questions that you want to ask, use the same information to contact us. Just recently saw on Facebook that there were some questions that didn't find their way to us. We'll take care of that internal piece so that they get to us, and then Pastor Ed and I, or I, we will respond to you. Won't be the same day, usually, but we will respond to you.